Friends, Romans, countrymen, it's Stage Direction with Alice Canton.
Kia ora, Alice.
Good morning, my gorgeous angel. How are you going?
Oh, much better now. How are you?
I feel like absolute rat shit, but I cannot complain.
I think that's a bit of a
definitely
general
don't
mood.
Think you're alone there.
Yes. What's yes. happening at the moment? The theatre is obviously like all other spaces at the moment in a bit of upheaval and trying to sort out what's going on. But what is happening out there?
Well, not a lot, to be honest. I guess it's quite interesting at this time. It has happened before every lockdown. We've seen a shift from the live experiential into the digital realm. And I think I don't want to be too quick to poo-poo digital experiences.
Yeah.
I think it's because like I sat on a lot of bloody sort of global Zooms last year around theatres, and it was very funny because I realised just how privileged our colleagues in New York and London and Berlin were, because they were all crying about how, like, just watching it online is just never going to be the same. People don't understand what the live experience is, what it feels to share oxygen with your audience. And I was like, like, honestly, living in Aotearoa as an artist, a lot of your experiences yeah. of work come through that way. Like, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I studied art history.
Yep.
And I remember the first time I saw, like, I think it was like a Van Gogh or something, and I was like, oh, it's texture. You know? Like,
I had exactly that experience, yeah.
Yeah.
Coupled and with the Christchurch Art Gallery not being open because of the earthquakes, I just literally did all my high school art classes from books and the internet.
Yeah, yeah, right. And those like old slide, all those old slides. When I was at a School of Fine Arts, you had to borrow like a slide pack and then sit in the Fine Arts Library and sort of like stew through it. But you know, I guess it sort of. It was not unusual for us to have consumed in this way. And I guess, obviously, during a lockdown, that accelerates somewhat. But I feel like I'm probably resisting the desire to jump online at the moment and
yep.
go hundy on. And again, the reason I say not to be poo-poo is because I have heard and seen of some extraordinary offerings for experiences that are to be experienced digitally.
Yep.
They're
yep.
not just like, let's film something and whack it on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, to be fair, I'm actually even reluctant to say that that's a bit dumb, because, you know, like, to film something and whack it on YouTube is potentially to create access.
Yeah,
you know, to an audience that might otherwise not even make it through the doors of the theatre.
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably, gosh, this is just, like, I feel like we're having a glass of wine at Coco's at 5:30 on a fucking Tuesday. But, you know, like, I guess as much as I love theatre and it's who I am and it's a deep part of my fabric, the weave of Alice Canton, I think maybe it's always good to check in with your privilege and check to say, well, how kind of colonial are these spaces? How exclusive are they? Are they really providing pathways into the kinds of experiences that I have? How might we do it differently?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to honour my disillusionment with the sector right now with a healthy dose of just check yourself for a moment here, Alice.
It is interesting. I think that we've definitely seen a lot of different art spaces sort of taking learnings from the previous lockdowns we've had and the kind of necessity to move certain things online, and looking at how actually there were some benefits to that. I was thinking a lot about how closed captioning has become just pretty much standard now in any kind of if you have a video, you have closed captions, or if you have an audio piece, you often have a transcript now. And I think that's because a lot of people who are from the hard of hearing community or the deaf community have said, actually, this is something that we've been advocating for a really long time, and now because we're all online, it's a lot easier to push that across. But, you know, there are some sort of interesting benefits that we've seen from this time of having to be in an online space. Which, yeah, I think kind of ties into what you're saying there about almost having a chance to reflect on how our normal sort of physical spaces are working for our communities.
Totally, and I think it's really important that it happens while we're in lockdown, while we're all existing in this virtual realm, but that actually once we go back out into the real world, so to speak, that we continue these practices on, because and I would say that it's disappointing that in so many cases, not just in the arts but in business or whatever, that we see ourselves lapsing back into old habits,
totally,
probably out of fear but also out of kind of morbid tragedy that, you know, I feel like in the arts, I can't speak for other sectors, but there's lots of legacy roles by people that are about 1,000 years old, and they have the roles for about 15 years. They tend to be artistic directors or CEOs or general managers of companies or galleries or so or what. Unfortunately, they just sort of stick around. It's because there's like actually I would say it speaks to a bigger piece in New Zealand where, you know, we can't look after our senior artists and we can't give them the respect that they probably deserve, so they just cling on to these salaried roles. But anyway, that's another story. Where was I going with that? You kind of hope that there's changing tides every time we come out of a lockdown, because people have been able to sit around and think a lot.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think you make a nice point though as well, that we have got some works that have come through that are designed to be experienced in a non-traditional theatre space. You spoke about Modito last week, which is Scotty Cotter's fantastic audio piece that suits a lockdown well, because it's all about going for a walk and being with yourself and in the outdoor space. It was so funny, we could just hear you typing then and it sounded like a frantic mouse or something running around. Alice,
oh, yeah. I do have a giant frantic mouse that I'm sharing lockdown with. My ego.
but are there any more things like Modito or that you've just sort of noticed pop up that have caught your attention at the moment?
Well, I'm actually, the reason I was frantically beating my keyboard is because if you look at the 600 Highwaymen, this is a work that was that Eleanor Bishop, who is a New Zealand theatre director, she's directed a few works, including that great work, Yes, 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 about consent. So they're a theatre company, they're based in New York City, and it's about a phone call. I don't want to give away too much.
Oh, okay, sounds exciting.
It's just about a phone call. Public theatre were actually offering it. It required you to share a time zone with a reasonable time zone with someone in America. But I really don't want. It's called Strangers on a Phone. I don't want to give away too much more. It's called 1,000 Ways. I think maybe the byline is Strangers on a Phone.
Right.
1,000 Ways. So look, I don't want to give away too much, but just the ways in which. I guess it's where theatre artists and storytellers move from being visual, because I would say theatre is primarily a visual medium.
Yeah.
And so when you really see artists shifting their practice towards experience design, which is kind of a gross corporate term, but to really consider an audience's journey moment to moment to moment through senses, through the, you know, an oral journey. I think it's actually, it's well considered, and those are the kinds of habits that I think if we can form them through digital to then return to a live space where you do have shared breath. You know, I'm joking about like, oh, you know, we didn't have shared breath with our audience, but I think I'm probably one of those wankers that actually truly believes that. I'm like, and they gasped and we all sucked in the air together and, you know, God. As much as I take the piss out of those people, I am one of those people.
We all are a little bit, aren't we?
Oh, I know. Look, as much as I have this love-hate relationship with theatre, I do genuinely love it. And I just, I talk about it all the time. It's what consumes my every moment. As much as I despise that as well, because I think you need to have a normal life outside of your practice. You know, which is why it's genuinely painful to be in this space right now.
But, it is, yeah.
You know.
But we find ways to make it through. We'll link for anybody who's wanting to track down that audio piece. We'll link it in the podcast.
A thousand ways.
We will link it in the podcast afterwards. It sounds intriguing. Very intriguing, Alice.
Yes, and in the meantime, there will be opportunities, I have no doubt, for theatre companies in New Zealand to eventually stop fucking ghosting. I'm talking about the large organisations, and maybe put some offerings out there. But for now, you know what? Art can wait. We can all read read a book or something.
Yeah, hard out.
And you know, once it opens, we'll all be gleefully throwing our money back at the pot that is theatre and booze. So,
we absolutely will. Hey, Alice, thank you. It's always an absolute pleasure to have a chat. And I hope you take care in lockdown, and we'll talk to you again next week.
I cannot wait. Love you both.
Bye. See you later. Bye.
That was Stage Direction with Alice Canton.